Blog Talk Radio.
Frank Reardon, and sorry about that music there. I was running late today, so I didn't have time to download a song for tonight, so you had to deal with the Blog Talk Radio music. Tonight we have a different show. Well, it's the same poetry show, but usually we do it Monday nights at 11 every week, and I was sick last week with the death of the kidney stone, so I had to reschedule the John Yammers, who's our guest tonight, on the show for this week. So he's not here right now, so I'm sure he's calling in. Let's see if he's trying to contact me here on the Facebook or the email. I don't know. Well, yeah, so next week our guest is going to be back at the regular time, Monday, 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, and we're going to have Rebecca Shimada. I believe I said her name right. And then the following week, at Monday, 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, we're going to have the Scott Womberg Tribute Show. Scott's an old friend of mine that passed away about a year ago around this time. And we're just going to, like, you know, read Scott poems or tell a Scott story or whatever it is that you want to do. And then we go into September's set, which I can't remember off the top of my head what the dates are after that. But we've been adding dates, and the show will go to next March 25th, I believe it is, which will be like 2 weeks short of a year or a week short of a year, and then I've just absolutely had enough of Monday nights of doing this stuff. It was, like, quite interesting and cool to do that. Hold on a second. I got the email from John here that what gives. I'm on the show, but he's not in. Hold on. I guess he might be having trouble trying to connect. I sent him the number again. See if he can get it. But I haven't had any trouble with listeners trying to call in or anything yet, so we'll just give it a shot and try it again. Well, while he's trying, let's see. So we're going to March 25th, and got a whole bunch of people lining up, Gerald Loughlin, Bill Gaynor, Frankie Metro, Zarina Zabriskie. They're all being added to the show. So I don't know what's going on with John. I guess he's having trouble trying to call in. If there's anybody listening to the show, call in and see if you can call in. I don't understand why there would be trouble calling in. I've never had trouble before. So if you're out there in listening world, if you could do me a favor and call the show and see if I can get you on, because I very well can't call myself into the show. Let's see. I haven't had any technical difficulties yet, so... I don't know what's happening. Maybe. I don't even know how to use this switchboard. I just know how to patch the callers, and why I don't know why he's not being able to call in. Hold on a second. I must sound like a total asshole right now. I am nothing. Let me see what he says. no, the show, he says the show is tomorrow night, but I'm, what the hell? That's strange. The show can't be tomorrow night because I am on air right now. Somebody try to call in. Anybody, please. If anybody's listening, try to call in. Let me see here. Let me see if it really says that. Let me go to the events here. John Yammer show. It's impossible. Nope, it's on right now. Well, I'm like on dead air. It won't take my call message. Wow, I feel like a total turd right now. I don't know what's happening. April! Try to call the show. Because I can't get my guest in. So, yeah, I'm just going to have April Bratton try to call in and see what's going on because the show is, like, live right at this second, and John can't get on the show, and I don't know why he can't get on the show. I feel like a total asshole. I don't know what's going on. Hello?
Hi. This is April.
So you're here. All right. Thanks for testing that out for me.
Yeah, no problem.
So it works. All right. It works for you?
Yeah. No problem.
All right. Okay.
Okay.
Bizarre. I don't understand. So I can't get John Yammers on the show, but April just called in. So I don't know what's going on. So we're obviously going to have to reschedule the John Yammers show yet again. Now I'm feeling like the worst host on earth. You're not live. I finally got a recording saying your show has not started. Please call back. So it must be something with John because I don't understand, because April just easily called into the show. So, John Yammers is ringing, he said. So maybe they're going to put him through now. He's still not on my switchboard. So I don't know what has happened. But this is insane. I'm technologically crazy. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if it's something with John's phone service. Because I have feed for people calling in. Oh, this must be him.
Frank.
John. Wow,
what
I don't know what happened
on?
There.
That
I don't know.
Absolutely
like,
bizarre.
It was bizarre because I had my girlfriend call into the show like 5 minutes ago, so I didn't know.
Yeah,
like,
and the screen here was changing from 24 hours till showtime to 24 minutes remaining. It was just weird.
Oh, bizarre. Well, we still got like almost 40 minutes, so we didn't miss too much time.
Okay.
So
I'm sorry. I just couldn't get through.
No, that's all right. That's all right. I feel a lot better that you have because I don't work too well with dead air.
Yeah.
So.
For the first several times I tried, I would get a dial tone and then nothing. It wouldn't ring. And then I looked at the screen and it was saying 24 hours remaining till showtime.
I don't know. It must be something with the Blog Talk Radio or something.
It just wouldn't let me get through. And then the next time I got through, it said call when the show is 15 minutes from starting. In any case, I'm here.
Yeah, I'll just have to tell the people to skip till the minute 35. So they don't have to hear me talking. But, yeah, let's just get right into it. Why don't you tell everybody the name and about your new book and stuff like that?
My new book. My new book is called They Never Told Me This Would Happen, published by Epic Rights Press. I'm really proud of this one. I think it's the best work I've ever done, and I've had a fairly extensive career. I've been doing this for 42 years now.
Nice. And they can pick that up now? How could they get that?
They can get that. Well, you can get it on easiest ways from Amazon, Amazon.com, or if you're in Canada, in Amazon.ca. And you can also get it from my website, which is johnyamaris.com. And there's a lot of good information about my work there on the website.
Cool. So why don't we just jump right into it, and you can, give us like 3 poems or something you write on the shorter side. So,
get started.
Yeah.
And again, I'm looking at your screen here, and it says 24 hours till showtime.
No, I've got 33 minutes.
Okay, let's right. get right into it. Picture this. This basement where I write is lined with books. And where there are no books, there are DVDs of old movies. And where there are no old movies, there's a refrigerator filled with beer and a cabinet filled with wine. Put in a bathroom and I could easily live down here. But then there's the dog, the world, and you. Another one.
Yeah.
Until a few days ago, my favorite first line from a novel was the Bukowski book that started out, "It began as a mistake." Now my favorite first line in a novel comes from Peter Pan, which reads, "All children except one grow up, and that's really the only mistake." Let's do one more. His book, Scratch Your Balls with a Brick, was groundbreaking, gritty, and real. But after that, after it hit, he had nothing left in him. Empty and desperate, he published Screw the Pooch, but the readers saw right through it, and it bombed. Blocked, he decided he'd make like Salinger or Harper Lee and go silent. And when he did, no one cared, and he was gone. Just like that. Lately, he's been working as a greeter in Walmart. Drinks more than he should, cuts his grass, bites his nails, and dreams of days gone by.
So have you always, or is that just something you like, developed into, like, writing, like, more shorter poems?
For the most part right now, they're all... I think eventually my words are just going to disappear off the page, and I'm just going to put blank books. But, as I've gotten older, I've found that the trick is what not to say. That's the hard part. Better at not saying things. Let me do a short one from my book, Doing Cartwheels on Doomsday Afternoon. That book was also published by Epic Rights Press. Another short one. "Write a poem about that," she said, sitting on the edge of the bed, smiling.
That's what I like. Like, I don't know. Sometimes you have to like think about it for a second, and then it like hits you like a second later. And I kind of like that about that. Cause when I have your 2-year books, and I have that book too.
Oh, good, good. They're intended to have that delayed reaction on people. I don't know how to say this without sounding egotistical, but I want them to work on two levels, and I don't think everybody's going to get it on that deeper level, and that's okay with me. It's okay with me.
Yeah, sometimes your poems are just about the dog. You know, sometimes maybe it's just about the dog. I mean, that might sound silly what I just said, but...
Yeah, I don't mean, yeah, that's silly. I'm agreeing with you that sometimes the poems are just about, you know, that hair on your nose.
Go ahead. No, I was just going to say it as, like, other writers I might know or myself that, like, when I was younger, they were, like, to find that point to make them shorter, it took, I don't know, a long time to get there. Like, being only 38 now, I just started getting smaller, you know, and I don't know.
Yeah, hey, how you feeling?
Oh, I'm feeling a lot better, thanks.
That's good. We're doing this show tonight as a reboot from one where you had to cancel and not feeling well.
Yeah, there was about 3 days where I wanted to blow up the universe, but I'm not feeling a lot better now.
Talking about dog poems, here's one from my new book. I was just now out in the yard cleaning up, and I found one of Abby's balls. I picked it up, and as soon as I threw it, I knew. Watching that ball come to a stop nearly broke my heart.
Yeah, that's great.
Here's one more from the new book. They stopped asking me to come to their open mic nights. I couldn't bring myself to tell them it bores the shit out of me to hear poets read. Every time they'd ask, I'd make excuses. I always had some other plans, even when they asked weeks ahead. Finally, they stopped. It's good that way, and quiet, and somehow fitting. They've got their poems, and I've got mine.
That's great. How did you get involved with Epic Rights Press, and how did that all come about?
I had Lummox Press a couple of years ago published my new and selected poems. I really like that book, and Rain Dog does a great job. Good man. And I guess that book got to the attention of Wolf Karstens, who then started coming after me. And we've been a good fit since then. He's published 3 of my books, and there are 3 more in the works.
Nice. So you got a children's book or something, too? Or?
I've got the next one coming out is an illustrated children's book. And right after that will be a collection of my best poems about dogs, both pulled from my previous books as well as a whole bunch of new ones. And then after that will be a collection of all brand new work.
Do you do drawings too? Or
no, are you kidding? We'd have stick figures if I did the drawings.
Yeah, I know. I understand that, but... So, I mean, was that transition hard, or did you always write here and there like that before, children's literature?
You mean writing for children's books?
Yeah.
That transition? It was something I never even thought about. And the story behind that is really a cool story, because one day I said to Wolf, that I got to get myself back into shape for writing novels. Years ago, I published 2 novels. And he said, why do you want to do that? And I said, well, you know, books of poetry are books of poetry, but you could make some money with novels. And he said, John, you're my guy. You write the poems, and I'll figure out how to get them sold. And which was very, very cool of him. And a couple of days later, he said, you know, I've been thinking about what you said, and if I were ever to ask you to try to write something different, it would be a children's book. And it kind of went from there. And I talked to my wife that night, and by the next morning, I had the thing written.
Cool.
Yeah.
So that's great. Does it,
just like that.
Is it like
that? Let me, if I may, read another dog poem and another poem from Doing Cartwheels on Doomsday Afternoon.
Sure.
This is one of my favorite dog poems. In dog obedience class, for once, our little Abby did everything right. For once, she didn't bite, jump, or pull. This time, she paid attention and sat and stayed and came and listened, just like all the other dogs. I can't tell you how much I hated that. Another short one. We are the literary fallout from Charles Bukowski's ass. And for some strange reason, that works.
Well, did you ever go through that like phase of like having to write the longer and more languagey poems, or were you just always narrative?
No. When I started out, and I can't even bear to look at my early books. When I started out, I was writing very long stuff, trying to beat the world into submission. And it's only like in the last 10 or 15 years when I finally realized that just keeping it small is a harder thing to do, and it's more gratifying, for me at least.
I definitely find it definitely harder. You've got to be more of a surgeon there with the words you choose. I think you choose them quite well, and especially the way you end it. You know what not word to like what not like you said earlier what not word to put in there. Like a lot of people would have just kept going on and on at the end, but you like left it where you can think about it. Yeah, I like that. I appreciate that.
Well,
so why don't you give us some more
I like that because it gets the reader involved. It makes them become part of the like that poem about write a poem about that. She said, sitting on the edge of the bed, smiling. That conjures up all these images in the reader's head, and you know their own world is now thrown into the poem, and the poem means so much more to them. I hope to think.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. Like it leaves you thinking about what that could be. I definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely appreciate when people do stuff like that and leave them short. Myself, I very much enjoy the short ones myself. So you can give us a few more if you want.
Okay, sure. Here's one from my book called Can't Stop Now, again, published by Epic Rights Press. I'm a sucker for black and white movies and salads made with oil and vinegar and real crunchy garlic bread. I have a high tolerance for pain except for needles and hangnails. I love dogs, hate cats, and slam the goddamn door on Jehovah's Witnesses. I like W.C. Fields, Groucho Marx, fart jokes, and anything that has to do with World War II. I've had 5 great loves in my life. 4 were dogs, and the 5th is upstairs, laying on the couch, half asleep, watching Dateline.
Nice. So you want to give more? Do you want to? Oh, by the way, if you want to call in and ask John a question, you can. We got about 20 minutes. Please don't call in the last 3 minutes and ask a question.
Yes,
I have to do
the sweeping up the floor. Yeah.
Yeah.
What did we have? About 8 minutes of my dead time where I know I was in a panic.
Yeah, I was trying to talk about future shows, but I couldn't remember any of them. That's why I have them written down. Okay.
I spent the night sitting in my chair listening to this set of tapes I bought earlier in the day. Old radio shows from the 40s and 50s, hard-boiled detectives, Philip Marlowe, Boston Blackie, Johnny Dollar, tough guys who knew their way around a knife and a gun and a dame, men who talked fast and walked slow, men of wit and courage and charm. For 3 hours I listened, Then, tired, I finally took one last slug of beer and walked out onto the back porch, hoping that someone would be stupid or foolish or desperate enough to try and sneak up and slug me from behind.
You get like a really good glimpse on it in a way in your life too, which I think is like really important, because I think poets don't really give you that personal view. I mean, you think about like how you live in a way, you know, by your poems, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Giving the poems a bit of your personality is a real tricky thing to do. I hope every now and then I get that, and people can read them off the page and still know what I'm about a little bit. Here's one about Bukowski, and of course, you know, we all owe that man a debt and hate him for it. I bought the new Bukowski book yesterday, and it's sad. They've been picking his bones for 16 years now, bringing out new books of poems every year, each one getting worse and worse, publishing every poem and scrap they can get their hands on, thousands of them. They must be near the end, though. This one's hardly more than 100 pages long. We've finally squeezed the life out of you, haven't we, Hank? I guess we got what we wanted. And now, after years of weaker and weaker poems, we've managed to run you to ground. You've finally become what we always wanted you to be. One of us.
Nice. So that's kind of weird, because like at first he probably was one of us, I don't know, years before I was born. But, you know, and then he got like up real high, I suppose. Yeah, I like some of his, and not to get in a conversation about him at all, but...
Yeah,
like some of his stuff later in life when he was alive, but some of the stuff they put out after he died,
horrible.
Maybe like one or two out of 10, but when he was alive, I usually liked them all, you know, so, you know, as S.A. Griffin once told me, he just said, if it wasn't for him, Small Press probably wouldn't be as successful as it might have been. Not that I'm finding a lot of success financially in poetry books, but it's got to be somebody. But I think Wolf does a really good job at promotions. He does a lot better at the business end of it than I think, which is lucky for you, than a lot of other people do on the business end of it.
Well, you know, he's a real pro at what he does, and his books are without equal as far as the production values. And yes, he knows the business end. And don't let anybody kid you, it is a business. And, you know, there's all the art, but you still got to get behind things and promote and try to get every avenue to get your books read. Because if you don't get your books read, you might as well not even write them.
Exactly. I mean, I think that's why I try to get publishers on, like, one or two every month or two as well. So I've had, like, three or four of them on thus far. And I would have to say that, like, Wolf thus far, out of all the publishers I've talked to, has got his game going on. So, I mean, it's, like, good for you and Rob and Jason, whoever is published over there.
Mm-hmm. And as far as the manuscripts, like, each of my three books that he's published, I would bet he's read the manuscript four times the amount of times that I've read it. You know, and he's constantly writing back with emails about, I don't think there should be a comma here, or just little piddly things that mean the world to the finished book. And, you know, anybody out there who wants to get some quality work, because Wolf publishes only the best guys he can find, go to epicrights.org, EPICrights.org, and check out some of the stuff there.
Nice.
And my books are there, too.
So why don't you give us a few more of maybe some from your new book, too? I know you've been giving us stuff from there, but, I mean, whatever you want, doesn't really matter.
Yeah. Here's one from the new one. The great James M. Cain ended his novel, Double Indemnity, with two words, the moon. Nothing more need ever be said.
Yeah, sometimes I just, like, don't know what to, like, say at the end of your poems, because I get this, like, little snickering laugh, you know, because, it, like I said, it makes me stop to think. So it gives me like this like small little laugh as opposed to like, you know, I don't know. So have you
here's another one from the new book.
Okay.
And this one is just one word at a time going down vertically. You know, one
okay.
under the other. The thing you've really got to do is look death square in the eye and stare that mother down.
And that, yeah, that's a good, I kind of like it, a pause for your poems. Like I guess what I was trying to say a minute ago is like, you know, you got to really think about it sometimes. And I don't know, I appreciate that. I said it like 5 times already, sorry.
Well, thank you.
But,
that's very nice of you. Here's one more, and that's all I'm going to read from the new one because I want some people to see what else is in there. He asked me, how do I write a poem, and when do I know that it's done? That was a fair enough question, so I gave him a fair enough answer. I told him that I write it all down. I write it all down and start cutting. I keep cutting till I hit bone, and when I do, there's the poem.
So yeah, the bone, like you're very good at like getting at the bone of things too, and sometimes you like have to read like these other books, whether it's some, you know, people here and there. It's like, it reminds me of like Gerald Loughlin. I was in hysterics the other day reading one of the books he sent me.
Oh, Loughlin's the best. Do you know how many books that man's written?
A ton of them. Like he,
at last count, it was over 130.
Yeah, you gave me his email address so I could get him on the show, and I got him on the show, and then like, I talked to him a little while, and he sent me like some books, and it just like cuts to the bone, and just right there. Whether a lot of times it's humor, and I appreciate that too. And you seem to like use like a sense of that humor too, and it seems to be missing like in poetry, I think, and like you and Gerald sometimes use that, and I appreciate that because everything's so damn serious all the time when you have to be around.
That's
poetry.
The word, everything's so serious. That's why, well, I don't go to open mics, and if I have a reading and they're doing an open mic afterwards, I sneak out the back door real quick because I don't want to hear that poet voice.
Exactly. I know exactly what you're talking about. And,
here's one from Doing Cartwheels on Doomsday Afternoon, and it's one of the longer poems you'll ever hear out of me.
Okay.
Eddie liked to think he was stronger than dirt, but he had a weak spot in his heart for his dog, Bastard. Now, old Bastard, he was tough. He'd been hit by cars twice, and even when Eddie found him 3 years ago under the Parker steps with a broken leg and his throat cut, he didn't even whimper. Eddie wouldn't have noticed him if he didn't hear him moving around in the leaves. In fact, that's how the dog got his name. When Eddie saw the condition he was in, he said, "Bastard." And the dog just looked at him as if to say, "Back at you, buddy." They were tight since then, Eddie and the Bastard. He liked to think they'd be friends forever, but he knew it wouldn't work that way. One day, the old Bastard would run out of luck. A car would get him, and that'd be the end of it. And that was fine with Eddie. Nothing lasts forever. Until that time, they'd just hang out, him and the Bastard. Besides, what they've got is 10 times better than immortality.
Nice. That was that is probably one of the longer ones that I recall.
Oh, yeah, especially... Yeah. Recent days, and in my early books, they'd go on for pages and pages, and I just thought I was the best thing since sliced bread.
I did too when I was writing like that. Then one day you'll like look back on it, and you're like, oh my god, what is a shit?
Mm-hmm.
So I know exactly. And is this like something you've always like? Were you always like writing since you were younger? Like,
oh yeah,
a kid or something.
Yeah.
Was it always poems or?
When I first started out, I wanted to be the next Jack Kerouac novelist, speed writer. And like I said, I had 2 books published, but they were crap. Two novels published, but they were crap. And I found out over time that I'm not a long distance runner. I'm a sprinter. That's what I'm good at, the short bursts, and that's how I fell into poetry.
Cool.
Here's one that Wolf did as a broadside, and his whole series of broadsides on Epic Rites are really neat posters. My car battery died, and I was waiting for AAA. I thought I'd kill some time by writing a bit. Nothing came, so I gave it up, did the dishes, played with the dog, and waited, thinking, it's just like life, isn't it? You do your thing and sit around waiting for the truck to take you away.
Well, that leaves you some hope. But, yeah, so do you actually give readings anymore, or is that something you're just like, screw that now?
I don't actively look for them. I do a lot of this, like what you and I are doing now. I'm getting some things together for colleges in the fall and in the spring, but I don't go nuts about it. You know, the time will come.
Okay. So, you're out there in Pennsylvania?
Yep.
Is that where you are? Okay.
Just a little west of Philadelphia.
Oh, all right. Not bad. Yeah, we're down to like about 8 minutes. Anybody out there, if we do have some listeners, but people are being shy tonight. Anyways, you can call like check out John's website or epicrites.org. I'm not cutting you off right now. I'm just giving them the information. But
that's great. I appreciate it. My website is johnyamoris.com or epicrites is epicrites.org. And there's video on both sides with me reading my stuff and some good articles and reviews on my work. But let me do this one. That was when she went absolutely batshit crazy on him, throwing things, kicking the wall, sometimes even setting his clothes on fire. She didn't do it very often, but when she did, it sure was something. For 17 years, he kept his mouth shut and put up with it. If you asked him, he'd say he always will, too. Besides, it could have been worse. She could have married someone else.
Do you want to read some more? We got about 6 minutes if you want to read a few more.
Sure, okay, I'll do two or three.
Okay, that's cool.
Here's one I was kind of referring to. Object lesson. When looking in the mirror, it's often best to overlook the beginnings of a sag under the chin and wrinkles under the eyes. It's often best to ignore the gray around the temples and the bloodshot eyes. No, what you really have to watch out for is that look of fear and resignation, even terror. It'll kill you every time. Let's see. Tommy was a duker. He'd fight with anyone, anywhere, anytime. It didn't matter to Tommy. One time when he was still in high school, I saw him take on 3 college guys, and they never even had a chance with Tommy. Yesterday I heard Tommy was dead. Cancer. I guess he finally learned you just can't win them all.
That's true.
My dog doesn't care much for literature. She doesn't care that the editors write asking questions, demanding answers. She doesn't care that there's books to be sold, poems to be written and hands to shake. All she wants is to have her bowl filled, her head scratched, and to be let out when it's time to shit.
That's what I think some people should do all the time. I do want to apologize for what happened to the show, but maybe we can get you back on for season 2 later in the winter and have a, just got to fill out.
I'd be happy to do it again anytime. And
Yeah, it'd probably be after Christmas, but you know, I'm waiting to hear back from about two people, but I still have like 8 open dates, and we could get you back over and then, so we could have a full show instead of you losing 10-15 minutes.
Was it that much? I thought it was like 8.
Oh, man,
it
was
like 20.
Yeah, no, actually, it's not. Probably close to 10 minutes, about 8 or 9 minutes, yeah. And it kind of threw me off for a loop, too. I got kind of confused. I was kind of freaking out on this end, too. So
yeah.
I do apologize.
Well, I've been
for
confused
any,
since 1984, so I know the feeling.
It's kinda,
here's
it's
one
like,
of the longer ones from my book, Doing Cartwheels on Doomsday Afternoon. When I was a kid, I worked in a shoe factory. I was a heeler, putting heels on women's shoes. I'd glue the heels to the soles and put them on a conveyor that took them to a trimmer who sanded the excess. If I didn't do it well enough or fast enough, he'd turn around and throw a shoe at me. Pretty soon it got to be a routine. I'd glue and duck and glue and duck. I was young and quick, and he rarely ever hit me. Eventually the work ran out, and I moved on. I often wondered what drives a man to act like that. After all, we were piece workers. We got paid by the finished shoe. It cost him money to throw them at me. Anyway, that was a long, long time ago, and I'm sure he's dead by now. Leo. His name was Leo.
That's great. So you want to give us a couple of short ones to close
sure.
it out? Okay.
Sure. When Ellen looked in the mirror, what she saw wasn't ugly. It was more than that. It was fugly. She liked that word. It was a nice contraction, fairly obvious, but it fit how she felt about herself. In looking further, she knew she had good, strong hands. Sure, they were coarse and fugly too, but they were strong. The thing is, she was sick of it all. It was time to take a stand. Tonight, she thought, if anyone so much as dared make a comment about her looks, it would soon get fugly.
You can give us another one if you want. We got a couple of
minutes. One more from the new book.
Okay.
I think the time that you're the most beautiful is when your face is swollen from sleep and your hair is matted and messed. And I stand at the side of the bed, the king of all I am and all I have and all I will ever be.
Nice. Well, we'll definitely, I'll let you know in the coming month, get you back on so we can have like a full show this time.
Okay, we can go at it once again. This has been a lot of fun for me once we got connected. And
yeah, it was great having you on.
Pardon me?
No, I don't know what happened either. I think like the whole thing like threw me for a loop as an interviewer too. So I was kind of frazzled for 10 minutes trying to figure out what was going on.
What were you saying? Where the heck is John?
Yeah, I think so. I was trying to. I was talking to the who's ever out there listening was probably cracking up because I was
And then I finally thought, well, I'll send him an email to tell him I can't get through. But this turned out to be really good. I really enjoyed myself. I really enjoyed talking with you, and this was just a good time for me. So thank you, Frank.
No problem. It was good having you on.
Okay.
All right. You have a good one.
You too, man. Take care.
Right,
good
bye.
Night.
Yep. Okay, that was John Yamaris, and you can get all the stuff through epicrights.org, Amazon, his website, contacting through Facebook, whatever. Next week, our guest is Rebecca Shimada, back at the right time on Monday at 11 Eastern. We're going to try to get John back again after Christmas time and give him the full interview because the whole situation made me a terrible interviewer tonight, and I apologize for that first 10 minutes of technical difficulty, but in the end, we're all still alive. We're all still above the grass, so does it fucking matter? All right, later.